Right, let us continue forth in our exposition. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization into eternity. For manifestation in time. And we are in part 3. In the section, repeat after me, call John in faith to free will. Inevitably induces futility. Oh my God, we must understand that. We had left off the bottom of page 68. I want you to again look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Who's the designated reader? Ella Nicholson is our designated reader. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Start at verse 16 and go through verse 21. And if time permits, not, we pick it up next week. There are some nuggets we desire to extract out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31. But first, I want to go back and reiterate that we had been in this context of 1 Timothy. I want to reintegrate the deposit. What that is. My desire is that God's people, you as God's people, well, first of all, know the glorious blessing of having such a great contract. That is the grace covenant. Appreciate it, guard it, keep it, enjoy it, and live life to the fullest. This is basically what Paul was conveying to Timothy as he spoke of what had been entrusted to him. Timothy was very unique in that being born in the household that he was exposed to the law, and I would say from some of the things that Paul writes to him concerning, he had also been exposed to the kingdom gospel message. But he was blessed beyond that in having sit under the Apostle Paul. And so he had been the recipient of that which had been taught to him. And Paul taught him what God had revealed to Paul. That is the mystery. Everybody say the mystery.
Mystery.
So when you take the mystery message, it clears up all that's recorded in the kingdom message. It also clears up what's in the law, in the Old Testament. Now you're ready to go through the whole Bible and understand down through the divers dispensations, the varying covenants, who they were assigned to. So now you got a clear picture of what's going on. But you have in your grasp your contract, the grace covenant, that which was unknown to generations before, and revealed to the Apostle Paul for the present grace church in the present grace dispensation. A volume of truth, which Paul in Ephesians speaks of as being one faith, a one volume of truth that is able to unite those of us who are in the Grace Church. The reason there's so much confusion is because there are some who are trying to claim what's in other folks' contracts. And they're doing this in spite of the fact that they've got a better contract. This is what Paul was trying to explain to the Jewish believers in Hebrews. The things that are better. The new contract is better than the law. But the grace contract is better than the new contract. And so when we look at those areas of the Bible, we should do so having internalized what's in our gospel. And so when we look at those areas of the scripture, we're not there to learn from them, we're there to teach from them. Because we are viewing it from the heavenly view. Our elder, first from the King James, and I know we've been over this, and of course, hey, I have no trepidations. Oh, no, 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 no. We're not rushing. We're not in a hurry. Life is out there beating us up. It's not in a hurry to go anywhere. Are your problems in a hurry to leave you? No. No. So this is the antidote. And this is the prescription and the medicine that treats it or deal with it. As long as you're sick, you take the medicine. Many of God's people are sick this morning. Oh, you might be feeling pretty good going to the fitness center. I'm not talking about physicality. I'm talking about spirituality. Men of God's people are spiritually ill this morning. We're not taking our spiritual meds. We have a glorious and blessed inheritance in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't do you any good if you don't know it. If you don't believe it, if you haven't internalized it. All right, I'm going to start with the 16th verse, King James, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. Everybody got to say amen. And we've been over this, we're just reading it again. Start from King James.
First Timothy 6:16.
Everybody get a Bible. Read.
Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach you unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
All right, verse, and we'll straighten that out. There's some loose chairs hanging there. Verse 17.
Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches but in the living God.
I almost don't even want you to read that because that's not, that's who giveth us strictly all things to enjoy. That's not what Paul said. That's the King James translation.
Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
We're going to straighten that out. Verse 18.
that they do good,
mm-hmm.
that they be rich in good works,
uh-huh.
ready to distribute,
uh-huh.
willing to communicate.
Go ahead.
Laying up in store for themselves
mm-hmm.
a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
Let's see why we exegete. He's saying a lot more than what this phrase is conveying. Verse 20.
O Timothy,
mm-hmm.
keep that which is committed to thy trust.
That's the part I want to focus on, but I've got to go back and clear up the other stuff first. Do what?
Avoiding
mm-hmm.
proselytes from the profane and vain babblings
mm-hmm.
and oppositions of science, falsely so called.
We'll clear that up. Keep reading.
Which some professing have erred concerning the faith.
Okay.
Grace be to you.
What error? When you don't have it straight. Now, mode of delivery to you has to be didactic because of the fact that the first thing we need to search out is the actual conveyance. Remember in Sunday school this morning we were dealing with that, and then we translate that word opinion. You ever come across that word opinion and it's you? Thank you, reading from Paul's writing. You stop right there. You go and you exegete that thing. I mean, I would dare say in every dispensation of writing, God has never been interested in mankind's opinion. God never went to anyone and said, "Well, what do you think I should do?" That's the way we think. Amen. And that's the way many doctrines teach. You do A, and then God responds and he does B. Oh. You know, if you make one step, he'll make two.
Oh.
You know.
Amen.
In this passage, let's go to the Greek. I just want to clear up something. In verse 16, that first part there, where he's talking about in the King James dwelling in light and even in the interlinear there, as I think we brought that out last week, that God is the supplier of light. He's not soaking up the light. He is emitting the light.
Come on here, man. Hallelujah.
And then in verse 17, it does not talk about when he speaks of what is richly for us to enjoy or receive or benefit from when you get into the actual breakdown of it, go back through it, and I think we have it exegeted somewhere in here. What has been given to us to benefit or enjoy are the spiritual things of which Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right.
Having already blessed us with what? Spiritual blessings.
Right.
Where?
In the heavenlies.
Where are the heavenlies?
In Christ.
It's that's what you got now, always have had. You had that before you were ever encapsulated in this body to go to be down here dealing with all the stuff we're dealing with.
Yes.
And it's quite a bit to deal with, isn't it?
Amen.
So that which we have that is abiding transcends the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God it transcends my physical body. I'm feeling a little better, but I wasn't feeling too well when I came in here this morning. Woke up that way. Pain. Where'd you come from? You know what else is? Depravity. Depraved bodies. So he's definitely when he's talking about his body, when he's talking about giving you something to enjoy. Not the things that are around us. What's the long-term effect of being happy one moment and being devastated the next? I mean, from a long-term point of view, how enjoyable is that? Not that enjoyable, is it? No. Even the threat of those things that can come and ruin us is enough to keep you from enjoying it. Man has several billions of dollars, yet he spends his life worrying about losing. We have a certain amount of health, but we always in danger of losing it. There's no abiding joy in anything you stand to lose. Oh my God. Everything that Paul talks about in that first chapter of Ephesians, nothing can touch it. Every promise that's given to you in our gospel, spiritual everlasting, and this is why Paul, he doesn't prioritize the physical. You got to stop prioritizing things that are physical. I know that doesn't make any earthly sense, because if I can see it, if I can taste it, if I can touch it, if I can handle it, isn't that what I should focus on in a prioritized sense? The answer is no. Why? There's one word in there, temporal. Temporal. Everything is temporary. No, that's the best thing about those things. They're temporary. Amen. The best thing about my body is it's temporary. Huh? Thank God. Amen. I have an exchange in manifestation, but I am a member of His body, which is perfect. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pastor, you're talking crazy. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. This earth and this life is for a period. Listen. Go on, and we said to the young people going to school, go do whatever, but when you start to prioritize things, don't get all mixed up. Put that thing out there for what it is. And see it for what it is. And treat it like what it is. And you will always walk in joy and abide in peace and happiness. Because you are not dependent upon the things that are around you. In the verse 19, as he speaks about, King James says, laying up. That Greek word is apothes. Of Zondas. He said, Pastor, why are you stopping? You know why? Because what Paul said was not laying up, but treasuring up. don't treasure up things in physicality. Treasure them away. And they're not foundations. And they're not reliably suited for the future. Oh, when I said the future, I'm not talking about next month, next year. I'm talking about a future that's a real future. Talk about the year 2000. Let's say 2080. I'm saying, Pastor, are you out of your mind this morning? That's the future, isn't it? No, next week, this is not far enough, not good enough. Where will you be in 2080? Where I've always been. In the body of Christ.
Thank you. Yes.
I don't want to think about 2080 because when I add that up and I add it to my age now, I know I won't be in this body. Oh, thank God for 2080. Now, that's the real future. And even if you're 10 now, you would... You would be 70. Well, I want to think about that. What is the future? Next month? Next year? See? Here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to put more credits on your retirement than you put on the eternal essence of your body, Christ. 2080. Those of us who are in our 50s that have nice retirement plans. It won't do you any good in 2080. Huh? So when you talk about your retirement, you are not talking about your future. You're talking about an extended...
Amen.
Venue of time that's out there, but it's not far. We talk about the future, we want to go into the future.
Thank God.
Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy this morning. But you know what? You know what? We got to come out of this nonsense. Now what Paul is telling Timothy in the verse I want to, then you notice in 19, read 19 from the King James. I mean from the Greek.
Treasure away for themselves foundation, a good for the future.
Good foundation for the future.
In order that they may hold on the reality, the real life.
Okay, look what he's saying there. Now look at the King James. He's talking about the time to come. That's not how this translates. He said for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But you know why they put for the time to come in there? Because to most of us, the future is the time to come. But that's not the real future. That's an extended revenue that you're looking on in a stream. But just as tomorrow, as the day is passing, surely that value will also pass. And what passes cannot really be called the future. If it's passable, if it's exhaustible, I know we won't get to that seventh chapter of First Corinthians. We get to it next week. And Paul said, "No, you. Why are you dealing with things and using it up as though it's not usable, as though these things are not passing away. You're using them, and while you use them, you're not just using them, you're using it up. A man gets an education, a woman gets an education. It's good to have. It's good to use. But just always you understand that while you're using it, you're using it up. You can't take your profession out here with you. And what he's talking about here in this verse is a good foundation for the future. In all that they may lay hold, haven't laid hold. You got a subjunctive there. But you've got a subjunctive voice, which lets you know he's not talking about the physical things that are around us.
Amen.
Albert.
Yeah,
why aren't you supposed to try to? Yeah, go on. Do it. But just don't. That's not your primary aim. That's not the zenith of your existence. Paul, in another place, in writing to the Corinthians, he uses the expression "half ephibeline is ephibeline." That is when you take one hyperbole and put it on top of another, and so now you're comparing, and so now one to the other on top of the other, and we get into the spiritual things. It is beyond comparison of the physical things that are around us. That's what he's saying.
Amen. Glory. Thank you.
And he tells you what it is. Actually, the reading here is not eternal life. It's tis undos zois. That is the real life.
Amen.
The reality life.
Amen.
Look at that in those of you who have your Greek, you know. Eternal is el neon, right? That's not the word that's used there. The real life. That's what Paul said. The future is your real life. Your real life is not what's happening in the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. If however long you may deserve, that's not your real life. That's not your real life. That's not the essence of your real life. Your real life is not what you're doing right now. Oh my God, God help us to understand this. Now, writes this because when it gets to verse 20, he said, "Now this valuable information, this glorious comprehension, this clear-cut understanding." King James said, "Keep it." The Greek word there is "guard it." Read that 20th verse, Elder Nicholson, please, sir.
From the King James? Or?
No, not the King James. We've left Brother King James here.
Old Timothy.
We exegeted now.
Deposit guard.
Do what?
Guard.
See that Greek word there?
Turn.
Philosom. Guard! The difference between keeping something and guard. If someone gave something to you and they say, "Keep this," that'd be mindful of it, but they tell you to guard it, what?
Uh-huh.
You use the expression sometimes in something that's important. You say, "Now you guard this with your life."
Right.
You don't really mean it, but you know.
Right.
But there are some things you keep.
Uh-huh.
A guard.
Uh-huh.
And in doing so, read,
turning aside from the profane, empty utterances.
Empty utterances. And what?
And opposing tenets.
Opposing principles. What?
Of the falsely called, falsely named.
Pseudo knowledge.
Knowledge.
Pseudo knowledge. All right, let's go to the bottom of page 68. I don't know when I get. I don't know when we get through this. It, you know, it doesn't even matter. We're just in part three. It's 10 parts to this. We're going to cut it off at part five and then give you the second section with the other in it sometime. And sometimes I said, now how am I going to get through this in my lifespan? Especially with all the problems I got. But it comes to me, that's not your worry. That's not your responsibility. What we would do is we would archive it. How long Paul's been gone? 2,000 years. Yet this message is still flowing. Huh? Isn't the gospel grace alive and well this morning?
Amen.
Isn't it flowing?
Yes.
Is it flowing in your heart? Oh, isn't God great? Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Paragraph down there where it says scripture analyzing, you see that? Because we've talked about faith and free will, and Paul, as he writes to Timothy here, he has killed all of that, right? Because when you talk about faith and free will, you're into physicality, right? You're into mankind either controlling or some unbridled physical force out there controlling things. Scripture analyzing of faith and free will are indeed appropriate backdrops to assessing the relevancy of abiding existence. Realistically evaluating existence incurs entities that are effectively unbounded by time. That's why we're talking about the future this morning. So we need to understand what the future is. When things are placed strictly in their transition mode, there's no problem at all. That is, as long as longevity is not deemed as a mitigating force. You understand what we're saying now? Spending manifested years in the experiences of occurrences ultimately produce only memories as their benefits surely erode from any abiding mode. This may sound terribly unsettling to some, but instability in time is not some new idea challenging the peculiar sensations of happiness and satisfaction. Ideals of forever possessing things in present earthly form are indeed absurd in any realistic sense, and that all preservation modes with a creed in and for eternity. In this sphere, it is not possible to accommodate the finiteness of human mental capacities. For even controlled outputs engendering trials and experiences are in every sense irrelevant. They're irrelevant. Whatever you're doing in the long haul is irrelevant. All is all important now, and I said, give it its due attention now. But even in the kingdom gospel, Jesus answered and said to them, assess or render unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Render unto self appropriately what belongs to time. But above that, render unto God the essence of what reality really is.
Oh yeah, glory to God. Thank you.
listen. Ideals of forever possession things in present earthly form are indeed absurd in any realistic sense. That all preservation modes were decreed in and for eternity in this sphere, it is not possible to accommodate the finite of human mental capacities. For even controlled outputs of engendering trials and experiences are in every sense irrelevant. Underline that, go back through it. Oh, God, help us to understand what life really is and what is not. I've reached a point that I believe the Lord has taken us into the essence of comprehending and understanding to the point that nothing is going to come and embargo our joy. Whether the economy is good or bad, whether my body is sick or well, whether things around me go good, whether they fall apart, they're not what to fill my joy. My joy is in Him, who can never fail, who can never fall. There are several things that I was watching one of the, I usually watch either the Geographic Channel or either Discovery History Channel or one of those science media channels. And say, why are you watching all that? I can at least learn what man has construed physicality to exhibit. And it helps as we read the Word of God, as we look at all of these manifestations as to what they really are. And as they unfold before us, it lets us know even more that God's in control. Don't you know God's in control?
Yeah.
And so whatever's going on out there, there are several things that could really annihilate the earth. You know the asteroid that's heading toward the earth? That Russia is asking some of the other nations to join them to go up. They got some vehicle to go up to kind of nudge it off the course so it won't hit the earth. First they said 2012 some years ago, and that's too close. You don't get everybody too nervous. 2018, what is it saying? 2024 now? They said something. Okay. Are you going to stay up all night worried about that? Well, no, I won't, because I can't do anything about that. You can't do anything about any other thing either. That's happening. Famine. Climate change. Do you know that you are only one incident away from a disaster? One squeak of a line. So that can't happen here. One volcano. That doesn't happen here. How do you think Yellowstone Park was formed? And by the way, the earth, the volcano is not dead yet. It's alive. Split the United States right in half. Pastor, that's not good news. It's not that which we're focusing on. That is not the determinant of our joy. What we're trying to get you to see, how shaky those things are, so that if you want real joy, you will focus on that which is dependable to give you joy.
Yeah.
We're too caught up in this world.
That's it.
We're too dependent upon this world. many things that can happen. The earthquake in Chile knocked the earth off of its axis by 3 inches. Did you know that? Of course, you're not going to pick up that information. All of your television time is on the soap operas or on the sitcoms. Which means, here's the science teacher here, it affects the molecular weight of everything, doesn't it? Got El Niño's active. Let's just talk about the United States, because, you know, if it's happening over there, if it's somewhere, we don't really, you know, hey, you know. Tell off that hated stuff. I don't want to say that. So it's not happening unless it's happening in your backyard. Disaster hit. Thing that you thought was so important. Your favorite TV program. You forget about you ever heard of American Idol. Or another owl. Or even TV period. There's so much that can come. And so much that is pending. Now why are we saying this? Because we want to get off of the focus of physicality and the things around us in the earth and focus on the eternal essence of who we are in Christ. The essence of who we are in Christ. The essence of who we are in Christ. I know they're not preaching and teaching about that. You can't fill the place up like that. I want to hear about how I'm going to get my stuff back that the devil stole. Or five ways how to beat the economy. It's like Paul tells us, don't go there. Didn't we just get to read but tell us don't go there? It's like that just goes right by us. We read all of these glorious instructions and directives here, and it's like it's not there. But it's not being preached because, hey, I can't fill up my auditorium preaching and teaching like that. I preach like that, they'll leave me in robes. I got to talk about what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. Not what they need to hear. What they want to hear.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know, the itching ears syndrome. Give me about 10 minutes and I'm bail out. I'm not rushing. I'm not rushing. Nobody try to rush me anymore. A normal period is anywhere from 50 to 60 minutes preaching. You want a 10-minute sermon, you're down the street somewhere, around the corner. But I guarantee you, you're going to go in there dumb, you're going to come out of there dumb.
I hear you.
Yep. And there's all these problems just waiting for you. Stay in service 3 hours, and you spend 2 hours and 45 minutes of it singing. And laying hands on folk. Need to lay hands on their heads. Spiritual knowledge to be permeated into our minds, inculcated into our spirits.
Oh, glory.
Let's go back to our document, that second paragraph there. Scripture knowledge, you see where I am? Of humanity's restraints, above. defined and controlled by the created arrangements of so-called earthly gains and losses. I was both encouraged and discouraged by that when we passed out this morning. Make sure those that came in late get a copy. What God's people think about things. Paul, on one occasion, when speaking about an earthly loss, he called it a gain. Well, but Paul was kind of crazy. No, he wasn't. He said that which would be lost, I counted as gain. And that which is lost, I counted as dung. If I compare it to the excellency of this knowledge, it was nothing. I got over. It wasn't a fair exchange. For what I gave up was nothing compared to what I... Oh, my God. I gained. What are you talking about, Paul? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That should be ringing in the hearts of God's people. But if you preach that, somebody's going to get bored. Now, from this informed knowledge, are you with me? It is possible to augment the futility of humanly added pathways to improve or even create more efficient input mechanisms construed as scanning directly, and that such are viewed as merely marking on a manifestation screen. Follow what we're saying now. I'll break it down if I need to. Reading and then interpreting their meaning solely as outputs of God's purpose. That's as far as what we just passed out to you with. But when you see the essence of it as mere markings on the manifestation screen, things that are occurring and happening in your life, they are mere markings on the manifestation screen. These are manifestations for testimony purposes. Now, when we get that, this enables mitigation, that is to lessen the impact, of such imaginations to the point of rendering impossible the levels of human technology to determinately effectuate reasons and causes other than their ordained time-traveling consignments. Here we are saying the same thing, except we're saying it in a more detailed way. That the courses of our lives are mapped out by God. And they have nothing to do with you other than the fact that you're a participant in them. Your life is not about you. Your life is about Him. Your life is not about your purpose. You don't have a purpose, a cause. You're a part of God's purpose and cause. This is why, you know, we don't understand when things happen, when God takes some of us out of here. Three children they buried yesterday. Somebody said, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to you, but just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. In testimony of God's purpose, it does make sense. In eternity, it does make sense. Don't gauge the validity of a thing based upon viewing it from a vantage point of time. You see, what we do is we prioritize time. God's not prioritizing time. Time is a creation. He prioritizes eternity. This is why some say, well, Jesus said some pretty odd things, you know. In one place he said, you'll be better off, he's talking about the kingdom, that even if you remain, and they're all messed up in time. Let me break it down. Even if you get murdered in time, slaughtered, car accident, that's not the zenith or the essence of life. When you prioritize time, oh, it's everything. It's important, but it's not the most important.
That's it. Amen.
Yes. Thank you. That's it. Inevitably, something's going to come through and it's going to upset the apple cart of everything that's around us. Ooh, Pastor, that's not going to listen. Think. Where is mighty Babylon? It's buried under the rubble. And another civilization, Iraq, is on top of it. The big, beautiful, and grand cities of Persia, where are they? Buried in the rubble. Underneath Iran, to even get the artifacts, they have to dig. And if you had mentioned to a Roman back in the first century that things will always be like they were, they would have looked at you and call you crazy, the same way we look around at all this stuff and we think that this is it. Be serious. Focus on Christ. Prioritize Christ. Maybe a voice in the wilderness crying, but prioritize the eternal thing, the unseen. That's about being preached from the pulpit. Prosperity. What is real? If you really break that word down, what does that really mean? Being prosperous. What is success? In the long run or the short run? Well, if there's a short run, then that speaks for itself. No matter how glorious it is, if it's going to end, that just breaks it all up. But I enjoy it while I can, though. Is that what life is about to you? Let me finish this. Give me 5 minutes. This is the real 5 minutes this time. I'm going to repeat this. This knowledge, understanding, enables mitigation. You see where I am? Of such imaginations to the point of rendering impossible the levels of human technology to determinately effectuate reasons and causes other than what? The ordained time traveling consignments. Don't you make that thing any more than what it is. Then what is it? It's whatever God has designed it for, and that's the whole matter. Society will stop here today. Human society itself is for the most part eclectically, that is, choosing what is best or preferred from a variety of sources of styles. Eclectically convinced of their development of technology and its need to be recognized as individuals creating things. And that's what got us messed up in the church. We are going to fight synergism. What is synergism? That's you helping God out. I cringe when I hear ministers preach and teach the people, God wants to do such and such, but you know, we're standing in his way. We won't let him. Here is the God of creation.
God of all
and you a little puny creature. And you elect the Republican blocking the blocking the health care bill. So God wants to do something, but we won't let him. We won't cooperate. Synergism means that God does his part, you do your part, you put the two together, and boom, there you got something going. And out from that comes free will. You have a free will to be depraved. In fact, you're on automatic pilot. We're all depraved. Don't you know anything that good that comes down and goes down is because God has overruled depravity? No. Now, final sentence. This incurs tasks requiring acquisition and expenditures of resources that God does what? Exclusively possess. Let's look into the essence of what things really are, not what they seem to be. Let's look at life and draw from the enjoyment of the essence of what life really entails. And I guarantee you it's not about you or anything around you. It's not physical or anything that you can see. It's not what you engaged in a daily expositions and the excursions that we delve into. No! They're not saying, listen to me, I said this, I'm down. We're not saying, don't go to work, don't raise your family, don't love your family. No, 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 no. Some always jump, go all the way the other way. What's the key word?
Prioritize.
What do you mean, prioritize the Lord more than my family? More than my job? I'll say it with one word. Exactly. Because one day you're going out of here. If the Lord tarries, everybody is going to die. Isn't that good news? Yes, it is. Absent from the body, what? Equals what? Present with the Lord. Yeah. I'm gone where the what? The wicked shall cease from troubling.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're thinking about when they're singing that. I'm gone where the weary what?
Shall
be at rest. All of God's people.
Hallelujah.
This is metaphorically speaking. Shall do what? This feet, that means all of these blessings that we read about will be manifestly in our hearts and everybody be able to finally enjoy. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy it now? You don't have to wait to die and wake up in the arms of Jesus to enjoy him. You can enjoy it now. One day I'm going where Jesus is. I know it's not popular. One day, I'm going where Jesus is. And I'm going to be called up. Can you say called up? Can you say called up? To meet him in there. But I'm not going to wait till that manifests. I'm going to enjoy it right now. Give the Lord a praise.